Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Here and online, we're glad that we are gathered together this day. Okay, what do I need to... Okay, they got it back there. Don't touch anything. My name is Loretta Job. I'm a retired deacon from this congregation and now helping out as well here. So it's good to be back with you. This is a congregation, as you all know, that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. There are a multitude of ways to do that. If you have your bulletin, you can see that there are plenty of different opportunities to get involved in mission as well as learning and faith formation opportunities. Today, we are going to, John is going to be talking about West Side Story. I said to him, how are you going to make something positive out of that sad movie? But I have confidence he can do that. In the pew pockets in front of you are your prayer cards. If you are in need of prayer of any kind, we are a praying congregation, so please fill those out. There is also a connection card in there. You can find, again, another list of ways to get involved here. Check that off, send it in, and someone will indeed be getting in touch with you. Today in worship, we're going to, well, besides Susan and the choir, glad you're here, choir. Thank you very much. Suzanne Everett and Liz Hoover will be assisting with worship today. If you have a young child, I think they all got to Sunday school already, so good for them. It is downstairs in the lower level. And I unfortunately have to give some bad news today. Mr. Jim Glenn, a lifetime member of this congregation, passed last week. There will be visitation at King Griffin Funeral Home today from 2 to 6. The service will be Tuesday. There'll be visitation beginning at 10 o'clock and then the service at 11. So please keep Carol and the family in your prayers. There are three announcements I do want to highlight out of the bulletin, and that is the women's retreat coming up in April. You will find Michelle and Jane handing out brochures in the community room, but you can also get information and register online. Family camping is also now online for registration. And so, Suzanne. There are a limited number of spaces, so don't hesitate. And if you have questions, see Suzanne or John or whoever else has been camping with us. And then this coming Wednesday, the next movie in our series is Fiddler on the Roof. And so if you are here Wednesday, 2 o'clock, you'll get popcorn, freshly popped, and water, and enjoy some great time here watching Fiddler on the Roof with our friends. So that's all the announcements now, so I would ask you to please rise and join in our first song.
Thank you. please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we lift our hearts to you. We pray that you will fill us with your love. When we look at others, help us see them through your eyes. As we move through our daily lives, help us to spread your love to all we meet. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Community Connect is an annual event in Livingston County that connects people in our community who are struggling with services and goods that can help them. Over the years, our church has given away over 10,000 pairs of socks and hundreds of soup kits. We're collecting socks this year because they're needed. Please consider donating new socks to this worthy cause during our January sock drive. We suggest purchasing socks based on your last name, which will be up on the screen now. Thanks for your continued support of Community Connect.
I was practice reading this scripture, and there's a line in it that is three words: God is love. And I was with some dear friends yesterday, and I was saying, I don't know which word to put the emphasis on. So I'll try to read it plain, and you put the emphasis where you feel is appropriate. The scripture today is from 1 John chapter 4. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. This is the word for God, of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to love. Amen. Well, we've been talking a lot about this sermon series and what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do for licensing purposes, but I can't help but want to like snap my fingers as we begin this particular sermon series, as we continue it. This Sunday is all about the movie West Side Story. Just by a show of hands, how many of you have had a chance to see this particular film or Broadway play. Has anybody seen this before? If you haven't seen it before, I just want to let you know, if you've happened to read Romeo and Juliet from William Shakespeare, you basically will get the plot line. So you can follow along, even if you've never seen this play or never seen the musical or never seen the video, you'll basically understand the basic plot line of what's going on in this particular story. But if you take it out of antiquity and bring it into a modern sense, we're talking about the earlier 20th century in the city of New York, and there's this gang, these gangs that are sort of rivaling one another, the Sharks and the Jets. And the Sharks are immigrants from Puerto Rico. The Jets are sort of white Americans who are afraid of giving up territory in the city of New York. And there's a fight that sort of breaks out to begin the whole story. The video begins with the scene of buildings and constructions by these wealthy developers who have brought money into the city, and the city is changing fast. And these two are angry at each other. But what's weird about it is these boys, essentially, these young adult men, are angry at each other despite the fact that so much of their life is actually in common. And I don't know if this has ever happened in your life, but sometimes we find ourselves sort of at odds or against somebody that literally, like, if we just talk to them and we listen to them, we'd find out we have so much more in common than we ever had apart. And these two gangs, as they begin their sort of melee with one another, they sing songs about their experiences, about not having parents, about growing up in poverty, about realizing that the only way to get justice in the world is to fight one another, to battle with one another. And the thing about this particular story is what starts with words, right? Like, they're just in this verbal altercation, sort of elevates as they begin to discern whether or not words are enough to settle their differences. And so often is the case with violence that what starts with just words on the street ends up escalating, right? It just sort of goes to the next level, and it goes from words to the threat of using fists. And after fists don't solve the problem at a particular high school dance, then it escalates to the threat of having knives. But knives aren't good enough to solve the problem, so it escalates to the threat of having guns. I don't know if this has ever been your experience before, but when you get into some sort of conflict, you oftentimes find yourself saying all these kinds of things like, well, he did this, right? Like, that's how we usually fight with each other. And then I saw Lisa was shaking her head. Like, have you ever heard this in the preschool, Lisa? You know what we're talking about with, like, 4 and 5-year-olds? Like, the argument begins with, he did this, and then, like, the next, well, he did this, and they just go back and forth and back and forth. Some of you who are parents know exactly what we're talking about today. But that's the story of the Sharks and the Jets. So often when conflict breaks out, it starts with a little thing, but then it escalates, and then it goes a little further, and it goes a little further. I want to read for you another story this morning that comes from a story of Samson. It says, later on during the wheat harvest, Samson visited his bride bringing a young goat. He said, let me see my wife, show me her bedroom. But her father wouldn't let him in. He said, I concluded that by now you hated her with a passion, so I gave her to your best man. I mean, that's always a great way to settle a marital agreement, right? But her little sister is even more beautiful. Why not take her instead, right? We're doing great with, you know, this relationship right off the bat. Samson said, that does it. This time, when I wreak havoc on the Philistines, I'm blameless. Samson then went on and he caught 300 jackals. He lashed the jackals' tails together in pairs and tied a torch between each pair of tails. Then he set fire to the torches and let them loose in the Philistine fields of ripe grain. Everything burned, which is how you should respond, right? When your father-in-law marries you off to one of his other daughters. Everything burned, both stacked and standing grain, vineyards and olive orchards, everything burned to the ground. Then the Philistines said, because you can never just let your city burn to the ground and let it go, who did this? They were told, Samson, son-in-law of Timnite, who took his bride and gave her to his best man. The Philistines went up and burned both her and her father to death, right? Everything's going well in this story so far. Samson then said, if this is the way you're going to act, I swear I'll get even with you, and I'm not quitting till the job is done. With that, he tore into them, ripping them limb to limb in a huge slaughter. Then he went down and he stayed at the cave of Edom Rock. The Philistines set out and made a camp in Judah, preparing to attack Lehi the jawbone. When the men of Judah asked, "Why have you come up against us?" they said, "We're out to get Samson. We're going after Samson to do to him what he did to us." Revenge always escalates. Three companies of men from Judah went down to a cave at Edom Rock and said to Samson, "Don't you realize the Philistines already bully the Lord? It is over us. So what's going on with you, making things even worse?" He said to them, "It was this for that. I only did to them what they did to me." They said, "Well, we've come down here to tie you up and turn you over to the Philistines." Samson said, "Just promise not to hurt me." "We promise," they said. "We will tie you up and surrender them to you. Believe us, we won't kill you." They proceeded to tie him up with new ropes and led him up to the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came down to meet him, shouting in triumph. And then the Spirit of the Lord came on him with great power. The ropes on his arms fell apart like flax on a fire. The strips of leather slipped off his hands, and he spotted a fresh donkey jawbone. He reached down and he grabbed it, and with it, he killed the whole company. And Samson said, "With a donkey's jawbone, I made heaps of donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I killed the entire company." When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and he named that place Jawbone Hill. You know, it's just like a ridiculous story, honestly. Violence that starts with a disagreement escalates. An entire city gets burned to the ground, all of the crops destroyed. But that's not enough, so an army is sent into another land to kill off all the people who are transgressors, who burned the field to the ground, and then more violence. And then Samson has this moment where literally God divinely intervenes in this moment, and he's set free, and he picks up a jawbone, and he decides to kill everybody who's come to cause him harm. I mean, if only there were places in the world today that we could imagine where conflict goes back generations and the people who are fighting today actually have nothing to do with the original conflict that was started hundreds of years ago. I'm sure that none of us can come up with any modern places in the world where violence continues to go back and forth between ancient warring groups of people. And that's the thing about violence. If West Side Story teaches us everything, it's that the tragedy is with violence that just keeps getting put back into circulation, that always, always escalates, it leads to absolute despair. Tony, the main character of West Side Story, falls in love with Maria. There's this beautiful scene, if you've seen the Disney version of this, that was just released there at a high school dance, and everybody's dancing and having a good time. Tony is just fresh off parole. He locks eyes with Maria, and the rest is history, as they say. They're just two love-struck young adults, and they're hiding out underneath the bleachers in the high school gym. But they're not supposed to be together. Their families have been fighting. They've been arguing. They've been, you know, engaged in violence that goes back probably years and decades, and yet in this moment, love has the ability to disarm all of those ancient feelings of hatred and vitriol. And love does that sometimes. It disarms us. It makes the people that we feel most strongly that we should hate, and all of a sudden we see them in a brand new light. It totally takes all of the vengeance and the anger out of the situation. And it also, love at times, can cause the harm. I mean, we hear the story in Samson, right? The story of Samson where love compels him to do this absolutely heinous act of killing and destroying all the land of the Philistines. The other thing about West Side Story that I think bears sharing is that racism destroys not only the people who are racist, but also the victims of racism. The story of West Side Story, these two rival gangs, right? There's this beautiful song in West Side Story about, you know, wanting to be in America. And you can probably have it going through your head. I promise I won't sing it, Susan, so we won't get fined. But if you haven't heard it, the lyrics of this particular song are so powerful. I've had them going through my head this whole week of these people who are singing about the land that they come from, Puerto Rico, my heart's devotion. I want to be in America. The beauty of being able to buy things on credit when it's, you know, nice to be able to do so. But the challenges of being in America, being encouraged to speak a whole new language, having to learn the cultural norms and values of a brand new place, missing with all of your heart the homeland where your ancestors come from, feeling comfortable and safe and part of a larger community. And yet part of the story of West Side Story is the story of racism tearing apart not only individuals but also an entire community. And then there's this great song about Officer Crumkey, the guy who's tasked with keeping the peace, right? This guy who's responsible for keeping the warring tribes at bay. And I think this is one of the most beautiful parts of the whole movie, because these kids, by and large, they're juvenile delinquents. They're folks who frequently have conversations with the law. They're constantly getting in trouble, and they're sitting in the police department, and Officer Crumkey's trying to get them to spill the beans on where the next, you know, conflict's going to come from. And then there's this totally tiny little piece of this play that I think is distinctively United Methodist. Because at the end of the day, when these kids are in and out of jail and they're constantly on parole and they're always in trouble, they make this proclamation: Officer Crumkey, there is good in us. Far too often we dismiss people because they have a criminal background or they've made mistakes in their life, and we want to, you know, dismiss them from society. The United States puts more people in jail than any other developed nation in the entire world. And in this particular play, there's this moment when they're sitting in the police department and they're saying, you know, our moms have left us, we've been struggling, we've been fighting, we don't know which way to go, but even in the midst of our confusion and disorientation, even in the midst of our criminal convictions and the fact that you, the detective of the town, know us by name, there's still good in us. And my little United Methodist heart was like, yes, that's the message. We affirm that all people are of sacred worth. It doesn't matter, you know, what you've done or the mistakes that you've made or the things that you wish that you haven't done. There is still good in you. Does anybody know anybody in their lives that's wrestling with that question? That doesn't feel worthy, that doesn't feel good enough, that doesn't feel loved, that feels like they've been pushed to the side by society? There is good in each and every one of us, and we affirm that in our faith, even for folks who have done incredibly terrible things. This movie is filled with beautiful messages about the challenges of immigrating to the United States, the deep struggle of racial prejudice in our country, language barriers, cultural barriers. But at the end of the day, Loretta's absolutely right. It's a tragedy. Tony gets murdered in cold blood, and the culmination of racism in the United States, you know, it's on full display as this tragedy. These two young folks who are in love, their relationship ends far too early because of violence and hatred. And it's a stark reminder, you know, to me, because while it was said in the early 20th century, far too many people lose their lives far too early in this country due to gun violence and to violence in the street. It's heartbreaking, and it continues to break my heart to read news stories or to turn on to the 11 o'clock news or whenever you watch the news and continue to hear stories. In fact, I was over at Planet Fitness the other night, and I looked up at the screen, and I saw shooting, you know, just literally right down the street from us. Did anybody see that story at the Green Oaks Mall? And, you know, it's one thing, right, when it happens halfway around the world and you're able to sort of hold it at a distance, but when it says, like, you know, Ulta Beauty Store, whatever it is over there where, you know, all of the network channels are covering the news, and you're like, wait a minute, like, that's my town. There's a way in which West Side Story sort of slides over into the neighborhood. I want to tell you, the other day we dropped our kids off at school, and the next thing you knew, we got a letter from the principal of Horning Elementary over here in Brighton, and they, you know, it just began with, like, there was an incident this morning in the parking lot. And I guess Horning Elementary, you know, it sort of like butts up against, you know, this hunting area in town or whatever, but somebody had pulled up, right, like, you know, at the very beginning of the school day, and they had gotten out with their rifle, and they were in full camo earlier this year in the fall. You know, it's like, on one hand, it's like just a lack of judgment in that moment because he was going into the woods to hunt, but these days, when it's drop-off time and you've got 700 kids getting off the school buses and being dropped off by the parents, suddenly, you know, gun violence, and it just gets a whole lot scarier these days. A West Side Story is a tragedy, and you're meant to feel all the heavy feelings of loss and grief and pain and suffering of not seeing love get to mature to its full state, but I'm also here to tell you, I think we'd be missing an opportunity if we didn't think about all of the societal challenges that this film brings up. And on the verge of celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday just tomorrow, you know, it's a great opportunity, I think, for us. I hope that you're able to take a moment to pause, to celebrate, because one thing that was beautiful about MLK is he loved, I think, with a fierce and loyal love, the United States of America. And he wanted it to be better, you know? He had a dream that this country could be better than it currently is. And I find myself in the midst of watching West Side Story, in the midst of living in this place, wanting it to be better as well. Striving, pushing myself, imagining, dreaming, hoping for a better future than the past that we've all experienced. And I'm here to tell you that one of the ways that happens, to take things back to Samson, to take things back to the Sharks and the Jets, now, this is one of my favorite lines from a sermon that I've ever heard, and I'm totally stealing this unashamedly. Having a brighter future involves just one thing: dropping the jawbone. There are moments in our life when we're holding the ability to take life in our own hands. And Samson held it. He found a jawbone. It was just laying on the ground, and he had this opportunity. Do I keep violence in circulation? Do I repay an evil for an evil? Do I fight back? Do I escalate at one level by taking the blood of these folks who really actually had nothing to do with the original conflict? Or can I take a different path? Instead of repaying violence with violence, can I just take this jawbone and drop it on the floor and move on with the rest of my life? So much of our hatred and violence in the world could be circumnavigated if we have the grace, the ability to not repay evil with evil, but instead repay it with grace. You don't deserve this, but I forgive you for marrying, you know, attempting to marry off my wife to some other guy, the best man in my wedding. I have every right to, you know, be angry and upset about it, but instead I'm going to drop the jawbone. This story, I think, it bears so much significance in our world today, because so many of us, when we get cut off on the interstate, you know, it's like you got to pull up next to the person and tell them off, right? Just demonstrate how angry you are, because that keeps violence in circulation. Because I was hurt as a kid, I feel compelled to hurt other people as an adult. That keeps violence in circulation. Because somebody came and smashed my Lego set, I'm going to go smash your Lego set. But not just one, I'm going to smash three Lego sets. And that's the way that violence just keeps going and going and going. But in your life, you have moments where holding, hopefully not onto the jawbone of a donkey, because that's weird. But there are moments in your life where you know that you have the opportunity to repay evil with evil. And I hope that you have the courage to drop the jawbone, because that cuts it off. It ends. And imagine if there were places in the world where it's been violent for nearly thousands of years. And I think particularly about Israel and Palestine, where the stories that get told there are generational. Imagine what would happen if they dropped the jawbone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Christ, accept us. Thank you, choir, and thank you, John. I think, Loretta, your confidence was in good hands. I'm also moved to share another Methodist moment, a little unprepared, but there is an opportunity to live out the calling that was placed on each congregation at annual conference last year to speak out against gun violence. And there is a event, I don't even quite know what it's called, on Wednesday. It's going to be happening throughout the state. Our bishop will be speaking at the event in Lansing. And if you want more information on that, I have an email I can forward to you. Randy is somewhere in the room. She also, Randy Clausen, could share some information about that. So, with that on our hearts, let's turn to God in prayer. We pray first for Lindsay Sapp, who is receiving our prayer quilt. Bless her and bless the knots and each one as we hold her in prayer and pass this quilt on. May she feel the love of this congregation. Let's turn to God, God of love. In these gray winter days, we turn to you, God. We turn to you to warm our hearts. We come and sit in God's presence so that we might soak up God's goodness and replenish our store of it. What a blessing that we can fill up on God's love, God's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We can fill up on that as often as we need it, every day, day after day. Lord, when we start to feel the pull of fear, restore us with your perfect love. When we start to feel weak and tempted to turn away from loving others, remind us that we are to love as you love. Lord, bless those working hard to bring your kingdom closer to earth. Bless those who seek justice and reconciliation so that all your children may live with equal rights, regardless of their race, gender, age, wealth, or who they love. Bless those who live in fear of violence, of war, or separation from loved ones. And bless those who work for peace and nonviolence. Bless those, Lord, who suffer from illness, grief, or loneliness. Grant them healing and comfort and compassion. Lord, help us to know when to let down our defenses, to drop the jawbone, to recognize when you are calling us to be the justice seekers, to be the peacemakers, or the comfort givers on your behalf. In this quiet moment of stillness, we set down our burdens at your feet and sit in your comforting arms. Hear now our silent prayers of thanks and intercession. Now let us lift our voices together to share the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I wanted to do a quick recognition here of some wonderful folks who are celebrating a wonderful milestone anniversary. So I just wanted to take a moment and acknowledge Vern and Agnes this morning are welcoming their children home, so the nest is full this day as they celebrate their 65th wedding anniversary. And I just wanted to invite us to take a moment to give thanks for the gift of 65 wonderful years for both of you, and just give thanks for all that God has done over those years through you and in you. And we just wanted to take a moment to celebrate you guys this day in worship. Thanks be to God for the gift of one. Amen.
He gets all the fun stuff. We have come to a time, and I don't know, John, how we had an amazing year last year. Can I share the number that you shared with me? Because tell me again. $110,000 went out of this church to missions. To a world that desperately needs it. And so this morning I'm going to invite the ushers forward to again give you the opportunity to recognize the blessings that God has poured into your life and to give a portion of those blessings back for God's use. The ushers would please come forward.
Provided us with a beautiful world to live in,
and have given us everything we need. Out of our love for you, we bring this offering. Bless it and use it in the ministry of this church, that we may spread your love through our giving. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.